listening to Viral Podcasting, the place to go to learn how to generate a six-figure income or more from your podcast. To get the latest tips and information, go to viralpodcasting.com.
Welcome. You are listening to Viral Podcasting, and this is show number 52, the place to go if you want to raise your game, build massive audiences, and learn how to make a six-figure income from your show. And don't forget, check out the book on Amazon, Viral Podcasting by Kerry Lutz. It's there. Promise, if you don't like it, send it back to me. I'll give you your money back. Well, hey, someone who has literally written the book on teaching you how to podcast. I'm talking about Dave Jackson, schoolofpodcasting.com. He's with us now. Dave, you know, I'm really happy that you're on the show because I've known you for years, seen you at shows, etc. And you do something that is quite unique in this area. You actually teach people how to podcast. How did that happen?
My background is in teaching. I taught a lot in the corporate world. I did a lot of Microsoft Office and QuickBooks and time management and all that kind of stuff. And at that point, we went from what they called computer-based learning, where you used to burn lessons on CDs and DVDs, to doing tutorials online. And so I learned that in kind of the corporate world. And the bad news, if you're in teaching, at least for me, about every 6 to 7 years, they would pull me into an office on a Friday with the manager and go, "You're one of our best trainers, but we have to let you go." To which I always wanted to go, "Why don't you let go the sales guys that aren't selling? That's where we need to upgrade." But when I did the last one, I had a few friends that had been to different marketing events, and they all said the same thing. Membership sites are going to be huge. And then I had one guy come back and he said, "Hey," and this tells you how long ago it was. He goes, "You know how you missed the MySpace boat," which I kind of did. And I go, "Yeah, yeah." And he goes, "The next big thing is going to be podcasting." And I said, "What's a podcasting?" And when I Googled it, there was like a page and a half of results, if that, because this is back in like 2004, late 2004 or early 2005. And I, because I just left, I'd been let go at a place, I was like, well, maybe I can create a membership site that will teach people how to podcast. And because I decided to go back to school and get a different degree. And I said, well, let's do this, which I always laugh because the last thing you want to do is start a podcast to make money quickly. And I went, so here I was starting a podcast to make money quickly, because this is in 2005. So nobody even knew what a podcast was. And so I spent the first 2 years just explaining, no, you don't need an iPod. And that's why I started doing other things. For a while, I was editing other people's audio. I was building websites for people. So I had a whole bunch of irons in the fire, and the School of Podcasting was just one of them. But that's how it came about. And then over the years, for a while, I had a tutorial on everything. And then the kind of running joke was, the good news is the School of Podcasting has everything. The bad news is the School of Podcasting has everything. So I finally kind of streamlined it. And I'm like, look, we have kind of like budget, middle, and, you know, just let's buy everything top of the notch kind of path, because it was just getting really kind of confusing. People would log in, they're like, I'm not really sure what to go. Where now I can say, okay, if you're on a tight budget, follow this path. If you're, you know, you have a little bit to spend, let's go down this route. And if you, you know, money's no object, go down this route. And that seems to be working.
Yeah. And you've dealt, I guess, with hundreds of people have graduated magna cum laude or with honors. And obviously, it's got to be satisfying, because I'm sure like a lot of these people who come to the school are kind of like what I would call lost souls.
Yeah, I think one of my favorites, Marcy Rosenbaum, called me up and she said, "Here's the problem. I hate technology and there's no way I'm going to be able to podcast." And I said, "Okay, Marcy, challenge accepted. We can do this." And she had a great background in HR and she'd been a consultant in business and things like that. And she goes, "I don't know. I just don't think I can do this." I said, let's try this. Let me baby step you through this. And so I walked her through, and you know, she submitted her stuff to Apple to be approved. And then like the next day I get this phone call and she's just crying. She's in tears. And I'm like, "Marcy, what's the matter? I thought somebody had died." And she goes, "I'm in iTunes." I'm like, yeah, you're in iTunes. She goes, no, you don't understand. I didn't think I could do it. You said I could. I'm in iTunes. So it was just awesome. That put so much gas in my tank that, you know, I just love that. And, you know, people like, well, nobody's going to listen to me. I'm like, yeah, they will. We don't realize the knowledge we have in our own head. I think one of the examples I always talk about is I remember I was on a date once and I said something about Pete Best because I'm a musician. That's another one of my hobbies. And I grew up, I was a big Beatles fan. And if you don't know, Pete Best was the original drummer of the Beatles, later replaced by Ringo. Yeah,
right.
Well, for me, that's like secondhand news because I grew up on the Beatles and this person did not. And I said something about Pete Best and they said, well, who's Pete Best? And I'm like, you seriously have never heard the phrase Pete Best? She goes, nope. And I go, that's the original drummer of the Beatles. And she's like, how do you know this stuff? Well, to me, that's just like, how do you not,
know it?
So
yeah.
That's the stuff where you can start a podcast and you may not know it, but you're an expert because everybody you hang around knows this stuff. And it just seems like common knowledge, but it's really not that common in some cases to somebody who's just starting out.
Yeah. So the things you take for granted because you've been doing them. And back when you started to cut, you know, 10 years ago, all the tools that are available now, the things to make your life easier, podcasting, they didn't exist. So there were a lot more moving parts to the process, weren't there?
Oh, yeah. It was hideous. I had just making an RSS feed, which is the kind of, if this was radio, it's kind of like here in Ohio where I'm at, that's like 100.7. It's your signal. Well, just making your signal, your RSS feed was, you either use software. There were some people back then that were actually writing the code by hand. And then I discovered WordPress, which will make a feed. And then eventually Libsyn came on board and they made the feed for me. But yeah, over the years, it just was painful. When I first started, I was making my website in a, what was, I guess now an Adobe product called Dreamweaver. It wasn't owned by Adobe back then, but I was using Dreamweaver to make websites. And then I would run this software called Feed for All that would make my feed. And then I would upload my audio to my website, which is a really bad idea, you know, all that other fun stuff. And so, yeah, we've come a long way. I mean, I remember when we were all excited because you could plug in your iPod and it would automatically fire up iTunes, download the latest episodes and then sync it to your iPod. And that was great. And except back then there weren't that many podcasts. So you'd be in the car listening to your iPod plugged into probably some FM transmitter because stereos didn't have an auxiliary in yet. And you'd run out of podcasts and you're like, oh, I got to go back home and sync my iPod. And then, you know, when the iPhone came out with the Apple Podcast, we're like, oh, this is the best thing ever. Now I can just go to some place with Wi-Fi and get more podcasts. And that's when things really started kicking into gear.
And that always amazed me that iTunes, Apple has gotten into this space. Presumably, they have made $0 on it. There's no profit that I've been able to figure out that they could be making here. And yet they've continued to support it. Why do you think their motive is? I know initially it was to provide content because everything was about content and that would sell more iPods. But here we are, you know, 15 years later and they've stuck with it 12 years later.
Yeah, I saw a presentation once, and I forget who the Apple exec was, and he just brought up Steve Jobs and how Steve was always about thinking different. And he said one of the things that is kind of a staple of podcasting is you can find a podcast, and I mean on any subject. Yes. You want to learn about chameleon breeding? Got it. You want to, you know, frisbee golf? Got it. You know, it goes on and on and on. And so you have all these creative people that are just being creative, and they are in some cases thinking outside the box. Now, there are plenty of people that think podcasting is a recipe, and if I just do A, B, and C, money will fall from heaven. And I think we've all proven that that's not always the case. There is a little thing called luck and talent that come into that. Yes. But I, from what they said, it was more Apple's always been about supporting the creative, you know, community. And I'm like, okay. And I guess the other thing, the fact that we're all still saying, please go rate and review me in Apple Podcasts or whatever, because even now the Apple Podcast app isn't part of iTunes anymore. So it's not like people are buying movies and books. So that is the head scratcher at this point, because they've kind of separated the two. I don't know if it's just a branding, the fact that we're saying Apple Podcast, that people hear the word Apple more in a day. Yeah. It is kind of a head scratcher, but the presentation I saw, they were like, I would just like to support creative people. And I'm like, that's a lot of creative people. I mean, there's over 600,000 podcasts now in the Apple Podcast directory.
That's Over 600,000. But you know, most of them are kind of like inactive, and they did 8 shows and then nothing else, right? I mean,
yeah, there's definitely, especially there's a, it came on the scene. In fact, they just got purchased this week by Spotify. There's a hosting company that I do not recommend called Anchor. And they're free. And the bad news is exactly what you said. People go, oh, let me give this a shot. And they'll record 2 episodes and go, eh, not for me. Well, if they were on a paid media host, that feed would eventually go dead and it would get removed from Apple Podcasts. Well, now that it's free, it'll just sit there forever. So unfortunately, that company is kind of, in my opinion, helping to create a lot of, for lack of a better phrase, litter in the podcast world.
Yeah, it's like space junk.
Basically. Yeah, exactly.
It serves no purpose. It's just something to be avoided, pretty much. And problem is, when you look at the iTunes app on your phone or on your computer, you don't know that they're inactive until you actually look at the feed and say, oh, they haven't done an episode since 2013. I guess we can go buy this one. You know what I've been looking for many years, and I've encouraged a lot of developers to use it, is the alternative to iTunes, where it would really allow you, the podcaster, to know who's listening to you, allow one-click sign-up to your mailing list, whatever you're selling, and allow them to, right from the app, go to social media and post about you. I think this would be a killer app, but I just can't get anybody to spend $3 million, Dave. I don't know why.
That's the fun part. Yeah. And then there's the whole GDPR, whatever it is. And there's a new thing coming out in California all about privacy. So that's the whole thing of knowing who's listening to you. And that's why I usually just tell people, send them to your website where you've got your email sign up and your subscribe buttons and things like that. Not quite as easy because it's another click, but
it's not as effective. I know what you mean. You know, only a certain percentage of people are actually going to do that, especially you're driving. You forget all about it.
That's true.
I have to admit that I do on occasion, do stuff to my phone while I'm driving. I try not to take my attention off the road, but I have been known on occasion to send a text. Usually I'm talking to Siri, whatever. But but the problem is you don't know who the people are, and it would really help you a lot as a podcaster to know who your audience is. But unfortunately, there's no provision for it in iTunes. They know who your audience is, and they could tell you, but that would be telling, and they're just not doing it.
Yeah, Apple's always been about privacy.
Yeah, and that's a good thing, because if you don't want your name out there, but they use it to market advantage, not so much in our space because there is no money in podcasting for Apple, but that gets us to the next point. There is money in podcasting if you do it correctly, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's just a matter of what I always hate to hear is somebody that comes up to me and says, hey, I want to start a podcast and I need to quit my job in about 6 months. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I mean, there are actual businesses with marketing plans and business plans and, you know, VC backers that don't make a profit in 6 months. And I always go, well, we can try that. But, you know, history shows that's typically not the case in 6 months that you're going to be able to quit your day job.
Yeah, well, most overnight sensations in podcasting have been at it for years, right?
Yeah.
It takes 3 or 5 years to become an overnight podcast sensation. So there's money in it, but that's part of your business plan, part of treating it as a business. Rob Welch over at Libsyn always says, treat your podcast like a business. And you need to do that. That's what I've said in my book, quoting him. You need to do that because it might very well become a business, and it's a lot easier to deal with an existing business and expand it than it is to change a hobby into a business, which leads to all sorts of nightmares.
Well, absolutely. And treat it like a business and always know your why. That's one of my first question. If somebody comes up to me for consulting and they'll say, I want to start a podcast. I'm like, great. Why do you want to start a podcast? And if it's, man, I think it's going to be fun. And you know, everybody, it's kind of like having a fax machine in 1989. Everybody's got a fax machine. I should have a podcast. And I'm like, all right, but we need to figure out why, because I remember one time I helped somebody get one off the ground, and the whole time he's like, it's just going to be fun. I'm going to try this. And by all means, if you want to just do it for fun, there's no rule that says you can't do that. What happens though is later he got done, and it was a show where he was like interviewing small business people and such. Mm-hmm. And he came to me, goes, this really isn't driving much traffic to my wife's real estate business. And I said, you never said a thing about your wife's real estate business. You said you wanted to do it for fun. I said, because your content doesn't really, you know, it's not in alignment with your goal. If your goal is to have real estate business, I said, then I would do a more of a local show. Because if you can get your name out in that community as the people, if you want to buy or sell a house, go see, you know, Tina and Bob or whoever, then I would do a local show and talk about the area and all the great parts of it. I said, that would be a show for that. I said, but you're interviewing small business people from all over the world. So you have to know why you're in it, and then make sure your content, A, is something that your audience would listen to, and then B, is in alignment with your overall goal.
Yeah, that is a great point. You're not going to be rich and famous, and you got to know your why. It's going to take you time. And when you know your why, the pathway to achieving it gets a lot easier. But when you have no idea where you're going, any road is going to take you there. So
that's it.
So one thing, we were talking about toys, about all the different tech gadgets that are available to you as a podcaster now. So I'm sure you've seen the person who just loves the equipment and buys a whole bunch of high-end equipment, but really doesn't have a clue how to do a podcast or what to do, how to make yourself sound interesting and connect to your audience. Have you seen that kind of person?
I had a guy who once hired me for a consulting session, and I get together, and he had kind of given me the list of everything he bought. And I said, so let's go over that again. And he had bought instead of like a webcam, he was going to do video and audio. So he bought this webcam. He had put all sorts of sound absorption material all over his room. He bought about $1,300 worth of audio equipment. He had a top of the line microphone and a boom arm and a big giant mixer, even though it was only him. And I forget what else he had, but he'd spent close to $1,500 in equipment. And I said, great. I said, so what do you need my help with? And he goes, I can't figure out what I want to podcast about. And I just thought, you got to be kidding me.
Oh my God, really?
And I think sometimes we do that. We do a lot of weird stuff. We will focus on our logo, or we'll add a plugin to the website when really none of this is going to add value to our audience, because figuring out what my audience wants takes work. And sometimes we're like, well, no, I'm busy. I'm so busy. I've been working on my podcast all the time. Yeah, but you're not focusing on anything that's going to end up giving value to your audience sometimes.
So it's putting the cart before the horse. I mean, when I started out, I am embarrassed to say, Dave, but I was using a Snowball Blue mic.
A lot of people have done that.
So that's okay. I don't want to say anything bad about them, but it's not a good choice for podcasting. And I was using GarageBand, which was adequate, but really not up to the task of a real professional podcast. And I was doing a show on the radio, and I would just post the radio show. And when I got like 20 downloads in a month, I was just like, oh my God, this is incredible. I can't believe it. I'm really succeeding beyond my wildest dreams. Then I took Cliff Ravenscraft's podcasting A to Z, and all of a sudden I went up to like 5,000 downloads, 10,000, 20,000 in a month. And I was on top of the world. Now it's hundreds of thousands. But the point is, like, the quality really is very important. And I think if you're listening to the show now, you know that both Dave and I have got excellent equipment and we've worked on technique. So, but you know,
well, I'll give you an example. I'm talking into a $300 microphone. I didn't start off with this microphone though. Like there's a microphone right now. There's a package. It's a Samson Q2U, which is kind of very similar to another microphone called the Audio-Technica ATR-2100. Yes. Both of those can work with a mixer, and they can work directly into your computer via USB. But there's a Q2U package. You get a boom arm, a pop filter, the microphone, I forget what else or something else. And it's literally a little over $100. Right. And I'm like, it's seriously, you just plug it in and go to town. And so I've got this $300 microphone. Right next to me is an ATR 2100. It's about $60. There's not $240 worth of difference. No. There's a difference between a $5 microphone and a $60 microphone, but there's not that much difference between 60 and 300, depending on the microphone. It's subtle differences. And I always tell people, you got to realize a lot of this stuff is going to be listened to through earbuds or right. in a car on a highway. And so that little extra sibilance that you have or something, it's going to get lost through the delivery. And as long as your audio isn't distracting. So when I see somebody that takes a Blue Yeti microphone and they put it in the middle of the table with four people and it ends up sounding like it was recorded in the bathroom.
Yes.
That's exactly what you're saying. Yeah. Now I'm more focused on, wait, why are these guys recording from a tunnel than I am what they're saying? Or mm-hmm. one person is really loud and the other person's really soft. That, you know, if I have to grab the volume knob, that's distracting. So it doesn't have to be, you know, when you're first starting out, you don't need to spend $2,000, but you also can't do it with your built-in microphone on your laptop so that your fan kicks on, it's louder than you are.
Or you can't be doing it with a microphone in your earbuds because some of them are really good, but most of them are subpar. And you get overmodulation, you get these clicks annoying. So speaking of which, so you listen to enough podcasts. Tell me some of your pet peeves of podcasting.
The one right now that I'm seeing more and more of is what I affectionately refer to as music for the sake of nothing. So they'll be like, today on episode number, 27 of the Dave Jackson Show, we're going to talk about blah, blah, blah. And then it's literally like 15 music of na, 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 na. And I'm waiting for a voiceover mm-hmm. guy to come on and go, the Dave Jackson Show, where he talks about nothing. Then it's just music. And then what I even love even more, sometimes it doesn't even fade out. It's just na, 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 na. And then you hear this, fine. All right, welcome to the show. And I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. You just blew the first impression. I do a podcast, and it was meant to be a joke. I started it because I wanted to test another media host called the Podcast Rodeo Show. And the idea is I grab a random podcast and see how long I can hang on. And I'm amazed at how many people blow the first impression because you could easily take that music for the sake of nothing and bring down the volume a little bit over it and just say, hey, this is the blah, blah, blah show where we blah, blah, blah. Today, we're going to talk about such and such. And as you go into that, the music just fades out and it just makes this nice transition. Yeah. And the next thing you know, you're right to the content. Mm-hmm. And so that's one. This is another one I think that's hilarious. So let's say you're interviewing me here and I go, hey, or let's say I'm interviewing you. And I go, hey, Carrie Lutz, he's the author of this book on making money about a podcast and blah, blah, blah. And then I go to the interview. I'm like, so here's my interview with Carrie. And I hit play on that. And I go, hey, I'm talking with Carrie Lutz. He's the author of this book about making money. And I call that the double intro.
Yeah.
It's like you intro the talk and then the beginning of the talk is an intro. And I'm like, okay, one of those is fine. We got it the first time. The popping peas are really easy to avoid. Those are just where you don't have a pop filter. And every time you say the word peanut butter, it just blasts everybody head off. That's just a little mic technique. And just the other one, starting off your podcast with an apology. So it's like, hey, I told you that I would have a show for you every Wednesday, but last week, some things came up and it's literally like a 3-minute apology. Mm-hmm. And I always say, you do realize that while that makes sense today, because yes, you're a day late, but in 2 weeks from now, when your audience finds that episode, they don't care because it's not late. They just found it. So if you really feel so moved that doggone it, I have to apologize for being a day late. Please put it at the end of the episode because that's where your super listeners are. I just think that's a horrible first impression. I mean, I could go on for hours about these, but it's those are some of my top ones.
Well, being a podcaster means never having to say you're sorry about anything because by the time you realize you got to do it, it's too late anyway. My pet peeve is a post-production issue, and that is where I'm in the car and I got to turn the podcast up because they haven't set the the volume loud enough. They haven't done the loudness, whatever that's called, the modulation. It's not loud enough, so I have to turn it up. And then the podcast is over and I put the radio back on and it blasts. Yeah. It starts blasting and it's so easily avoided. And yet so many of you out there just don't do it. And it's a real bummer and can kind of like shock you a little bit when it happens.
Well, yeah. And it's one of those things where, and it's also the opposite. If you're blasting people's heads off and you look down at your phone, you're like, oh no, here comes the, you know, Bob and Steve show. And you're like, you're reaching for the volume because you know that's just going to like come on and make you deaf. And that's, again, like you said, it's super easy. There are, you know, different tools you can use. If you just look at the meters when you're exporting your file, you can say, oh, look, that's about, you know, -3. And yes, there's all these -12 and -14 and 16 lufs. But if you actually listen to the difference between -14 and -16, it's almost not noticeable. But if you look at the output level, if it's somewhere around -3, you're in the ballpark. And right. Like Kerry said, if you just listen to another podcast and listen to yours and then listen to the radio, you probably should be in the same ballpark.
Yeah, exactly. It's so simple to do it, and yet, you know, it doesn't happen. So that's mine, because it just shows how unprofessional the person is that you're dealing with, right? So just easy things to up your game. Hey, if you had to give me three pieces of advice, you didn't know me, but generally three mistakes or three areas of improvement where podcasters can really up their game in an easy way, what would they be?
Number one, and this can literally triple your downloads, the title of your episode. I had somebody today, and I saw where they had named their episodes, episode one, episode two, episode three. And I was like, oh, that's such a bad mistake. And again, so easy to fix. If you think about TV, if you think about radio, when you turn those on, something starts playing. That is not the case with podcasting. When you fire up Apple Podcast, you've got to figure out what to click on to hear something. Yes. And that's where your title jumps out and says, wow, how to make $1 million in 6 easy minutes. I'm going to click on that. Where if it says episode 16, okay, what's that? I don't know. I'll have to click to find out. So, and the other thing I always say, nobody is Googling episode 16. Yeah. They're just not. So you're missing out on some Google juice. Also, Apple Podcasts, there's kind of three different versions. There's the desktop software. There's the Apple Podcast app. But there's just also this kind of web-based version of Apple iTunes. And it only has about, I'm going to guess, about 25 characters for your headline. So when you use episode 16 as 12 of those, and the rest of it was an interview with Sir Paul McCartney, and it says interview with, and it runs out of room, you're like, oh, so you're the title of your episode is really, really valuable real estate. So that's one. The other one, let's see, easy ways to improve. I always say your podcast is like a bus and you have to let people know where you're going. So for me, I start off my shows with some sort of tease, a little table of contents. Hey, today we're going to talk about, like my last episode, I interviewed Carolyn Cole from the Boom Tank podcast. She was going to stop her podcast, but she decided not to quit and she's so glad she did. Well, that's a tease because I'm letting you know, here's what's, we have a story here. And it, she turns out she ended up working with Steve Harvey's organization, but she was literally going to quit her show because she didn't get into new and noteworthy, which is a whole other pet peeve. And so that would be one. Let your audience know where you're going to go. Cause I did one on, it was all about gear. And I said, look, if you are happy with your gear, you don't have to listen to this episode. And some people are like, well, wait a minute. You're actually telling your audience to tune out. I'm like, yeah, I'm telling my audience that I value your time and you're probably not going to get something out of this in the next 25 minutes. And they appreciate the fact that I just saved them 25 minutes. So, you know, let your audience know where they're going to go and they can decide if they want to get on the bus or not. Now, in theory, you've done your homework, so you know that the content you're giving is going to deliver value and they're going to keep listening. So, but give them some sort of, you know, table of contents so they know what's coming on board and they can decide if they're going to stay. And the third one for growing your audience. Oh, and that kind of comes back to what I just said. And that is, you have to know what your audience wants. I did an episode on this where I said, how do you know your audience? How do you know if your content is connecting with your audience? And that means you have to kind of go where they are. I always say, growing your podcast, we would love to find that giant golden 10,000 download switch where you just go over and you flip it and, oh my gosh, look at the downloads come. But it really amounts to figure out who your audience is, figure out where they are, then go to where they are. And then this is the step everybody wants to skip. Get to know them, talk to them, and bring value to every conversation you do. Then tell them about your podcast. And what happens is people figure out who their audience is, they go to where they are, and then they tell them about their podcast. Well, they don't know me. And in fact, when I first started off, I found what I thought was like the pot at the end of the rainbow. It was this was back in 2005. So it wasn't even a Facebook group. It was a forum of ex-DJs. And I thought, oh, this is it. These people know how to use a microphone. They have a message. They want to get back on the air. And I walked in. I'm like, hey, guys, glad to see everybody. I'm Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting. If you want to get back on the air, blah, blah. And that was my first message. My first message was a pitch. And I literally got banned for life from that forum in less than 25 minutes.
Really?
Yeah. It was like, who is this spamming idiot? Get him out of here. So you have to know who your audience is, go where they are, find out what they're talking about. Then bring value to the conversation so they get to know you. Because had they got to know me and I say, oh yeah, RSS feeds, I talked about that in an episode over at schoolofpodcasting.com. Now they go, oh, well, this guy seems to know what he's talking about. And they'll follow that link. But if I just come in leading with a link, they're like, who is this idiot? So that's when people say, how do I grow my audience? I said, look, this is not going to be quick. It's not going to be fast, but it does work. But it all boils down to knowing who your audience is. So you're always delivering value. And then it's a matter of making sure it's easy to share on social and making sure, you know, it's easy to subscribe and all those other fun filled things. But it does come down to step one. It has to be good content. There's a great quote from Steve Martin, the famous comedian. And he said, people come to him all the time and say, hey, how do I get a manager? How do I get an agent? He goes, nobody ever comes to me and goes, how do I get good?
Yeah. How do I get funny? How do I become a funny person? And that's it. So really effort, constant. When I started out, Dave, it was, all right, I'm doing this radio show once a week for an hour, but I can't really get good doing it once an hour. I got to do it all the time. And then I started the podcast journey and I wasn't even really podcasting again about anything I wanted to, but you know, it was fun and I felt like I was improving because you know, what's his name? Gladwell, 10,000 hours, right? Yeah. To become an expert in something. Well, once you become an expert in one thing, it's a lot less time to become an expert in something else. But nonetheless, you got to spend a good couple thousand hours at this to really get any good at it, right?
Yeah, to a certain extent. I mean, there's nothing you can do because I see people that never launch because they never think it's good enough. And I always tell people, you're not going to help anybody with the content on your hard drive. That's not going to work. And Kevin Hart has a great quote. He says, you can practice your comedy all you want in the basement, but you don't know if you're funny until you do it in front of an audience. So if you can kind of figure out what your audience wants and then record that. And I always say, you know, a lot of people are worried about, oh, I don't want to sound stupid. Well, this isn't radio. You can edit out anything stupid you say. And I know a lot of people that have put out podcasts and they think they're talking to this person. I made this podcast for, you know, males that are 35 to 50. And they find out later that the people that this is really resonating with are females that are 25 to 35. And that's not what they aimed at, but that's what they hit. And this is an engaged audience and they love you and they trust you. And they're like, well, okay, I'm going to go with that.
Don't question your audience ever.
Yeah. And so I don't think there's anything you can do to stop from when you listen to episode one going, because you're just going to grow. I was listening to something I did. Let's see, this is 2019. This was 2007. And it was painful. I just sounded like I didn't know where I was going. And I was a giant machine, which I still kind of am. And it was just like, oh, this is painful. But you live, you know, the first time you tie your shoes, it's a big job. You know, the first time you shoot a basket, you're not very good at it. And so you're just going to get better as time goes on.
Oh, very true. Well, I figured out how to get rid of the ums pretty quickly because they were driving me to distraction. I would lose my attention just listening to my own ums. Chris Kremotsis, who runs PodFest, asked the question, what was your most embarrassing moment in podcasting? And I answered, quite honestly, my first 30 episodes.
Yeah.
Because they are not going to be good. But you have to accept that because when you started riding a bicycle, you got a lot of skinned knees. If you were like me, very few of you just got up on that bike and took off like a champ. You fell down a lot before you figured out how to maintain your balance and momentum forward. And podcasting is exactly the same way. So we find you at schoolofpodcasting.com. Just tell us, Dave, how that works and if there's any offers available at the current time.
Yeah, if you use the coupon code LISTENER, that's LISTENER, that'll save you 20% off either a monthly or yearly subscription. And it's basically it's courses. So there's like 20 different courses from everything from planning your podcast to buying your equipment to building your website to how do I use Blueberry or how do I use Libsyn or how do I get into Apple or in Stitcher and all those other places to how do I monetize and how do I work with, I mean, everything is there. And then, so you have courses, you have coaching. I do live weekly coaching. And then I do some extended sessions, one on the weekend and one on the evening because I've got people from all over the world. So people in New Zealand don't want to come to something when it's, yeah, you know, 2 a.m. their time.
Very
so I try
true.
To try to swift that up. And then I have a really great community. I have a private Facebook group. So if you're looking to network with people or just, hey, what do you guys think of this artwork? It's a really safe place where people can get constructive feedback on their stuff. So between the courses, the coaching and the community, I pretty much got you covered over at schoolofpodcasting.com.
Excellent. Hey, and if you got any questions for Dave, myself, emails are welcomed, kl@carrylutz.com. If something struck you, if something's bothering you, what we said, you know, it's strictly our opinions. There's often no right answer. When it comes to monetizing, I can tell you what worked for me. Dave can tell you what worked for him. But there isn't a hard and fast rule of what's going to work for you. And everybody has to kind of find their own road through podcasting, their own path, their own journey. And when you find your path and when you find your, some people call it avatars, I hate that term, but when you find your audience, and a lot of finding your audience is really finding your own voice. When you find that, it is, it's a real high. I know you went through it, Dave. I went through it. And it really adds another dimension to your life. And you can do it. You can do it by yourself, and it'll probably take you longer. You can go to somebody like Dave or myself, and we can help shortcut it and get you there faster. Dave, hey, been a pleasure talking to you as always. I'm looking forward to seeing you at PodFest, and you take care, my friend. Thanks.
Thank you, sir.
This has been another episode of Viral Podcasting. Be sure to visit us at viralpodcasting.com.